Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome you again to LSE. I'm sure you've been welcomed many times today already. And I hope that you're going to find some of the information I give out to you this afternoon both new and useful, and that many of you will choose to submit an application to LSE as part of, as one of your university choices for the next cycle. It's fairly obvious what this talk is about. You've only got to look at the slide behind me to see. And here it is. We're going to be discussing the main things that you need to know in order to apply. My name is Linda Hamer. I'm an admissions specialist. I work in the undergraduate admissions office here at LSE, and I've done so for a number of years. When you submit your university application, as I'm sure many of you know, you submit your application to LSE through the University and Colleges Admission Services, UCAS. Nobody submits an undergraduate admissions application just directly to the university. They all go through a central University and Colleges Admission Service. And if you don't have UCAS overload at the moment, those of you still at school, by the time it gets to this time next year, you will be sick and tired of UCAS. You will have serious UCAS overload. It'll be UCAS this, UCAS that, UCAS everything else. What is important, however, is that when you apply online and you apply using the UCAS password and information that is supplied by your school. You are permitted to make five course choices, and it is recommended that those course choices are made to five different universities. It is also recommended, for reasons that will become fairly clear, that you make your applications for similar courses, so either all economics courses or all history courses or geography courses or all law courses. There are times when students do try to mix and match. They might apply to some economics courses, some management courses. They might want to apply to some economics courses and some combined economics courses. That's fine. That's not a problem. But you're strongly advised to apply to more than one program at an individual university, particularly a competitive university like LSE, because it doesn't, contrary to what you might think, increase your chances of being made an offer. And actually, it means that you're then not using your full range of five university choices. So you submit your application through UCAS, your school will be guiding you into that process, and then when you've submitted your application, it's sent at exactly the same time to all five institutions or four institutions that you have applied to. There's no prioritising. There's no saying, I want this university to see it first. You don't apply in order of preference, my first, my second, my third, my fourth. You simply complete the form, and the form, the electronic form, is populated purely and simply alphabetically. So if there are people in this room who are thinking, yes, I will apply to LSE, but I might apply to Cambridge as well, that's fine. Cambridge would go before LSE, C before L. People in this room who apply to Oxford, Oxford would appear after LSE, O after L. It's purely alphabetical. And I'm sure that you will already know this, but if you do want to apply to either Oxford or Cambridge, it really is an either-or. At undergraduate level, you are not permitted to apply to both institutions. It's one or the other. When you do apply, you are asked to give information about your personal details, your name, your date of birth, your gender. You also get asked to give information about your nationality and your background. I have to stress, however, that a lot of that information is blanked out. It is invisible to the university selectors. It's merely available so that the government statisticians can write their reports and make comments on the number of students who've applied to university from a particular socio or ethnic background. So that information does not get seen by the selectors. What the selectors see, they do see your name, they do see your contact details, they do see your email address. Some of you may want to think about that. But they also will see your academic history, and that is the schools that you have attended since you were 11. Some of you will have attended the same school all the way through. Others of you will have attended different schools, changing during key stage 3 or 4. And some of you may have changed school as you've joined the sixth form. So all of that information should be given on the application form. And that is what we call your academic profile. And that is extremely important. So yes, your current education, the examinations that you're due to take, whether they are A-levels or the IB or any other international qualification, we will need information about that. But we will also look at previous examination subjects history. So we will look at how you performed in your year 11, if you did the GCSE, the IGCSE, the IB middle years programme or similar. We will look at the AS results for those of you who are preparing for your AS exams this summer. And for some courses, we may even send out an additional questionnaire in the same way that Cambridge and Oxford do, and that generally is to ask specific information about specific grades or marks in individual modules. So the information that we get to see, or the selectors get to see, is very much focused on the academic, and that is extremely important. And that's true for all top Russell Group universities. There are important deadlines, I'm sure you know this. For those of you that don't, the first deadline that will concern you will be the 15th of October 2014. And that will be the deadline for applications if one of your university choices is Oxford or Cambridge. And what that tends to mean is that your school will get you to complete your application very early. That means that when it's submitted, not only do Oxford or Cambridge receive the application, but we or the other universities that you've applied to at the same time will also receive your application. So you send off your application, and then all of your universities get to see it at the same time. So that's the first tranche. There's another tranche that comes through, and that deadline is the UCAS official deadline, and that is for the 15th of January. So that'll be the 15th of January, and that'll be 2015. Now, what we do is that we say quite categorically that we give equal consideration to all applications who submit their application within the time frame set by UCAS. So that is from the 1st of September 2014, not very far away, to the 15th of January 2015. But when I tell you we receive over 17,000 applications, you will realise that we can't wait until next January before we start informing students of the status of their application, whether they've been made an offer or whether they haven't. And so we do try to process forms on a rolling programme as they come in, which does mean that we start processing forms and making our early decisions in October, and we continue making decisions throughout December, November, I missed out November, shouldn't have missed out November, through November, December, January, and on into February. And it will state on our website quite clearly that we will aim to make all of our admission decisions before the end of March. Now, I can tell you that this year, the Undergraduate Admissions Office actually managed to make all of its admissions decisions before the 19th of March. So anybody in the upper sixth at your school who had submitted an application to LSE will know already whether or not they have been made an offer. Not all universities make those decisions so quickly, but we'd like to try and do so because we know how stressful it is for you to be hanging around and waiting, particularly if you've applied early. The last thing you want to be doing is applying in sort of September, October time and still hanging around March, not knowing the outcome of your application. So although we consider everybody equally, and that does mean we don't make all of our offers at the very beginning, because that would not be fair on the people that applied late, we do start making those decisions quite early in the cycle. And so my advice is always to get your application in sooner rather than later. The sooner it's done, the sooner it's out of the way for your point of view, and the more likely and the sooner you will be to hear a decision. You will get a decision back in terms of the number of how early you've applied. So that's my first tip about applying generally to UK universities, but specifically to LSE. I've said already we have something like 17,000 applications. obviously not all of those are made an offer. We're quite a small university. If you walk around our campus already today, you'll realise how very compact it actually is. This is the largest lecture hall that we have. We have a couple of other lecture theatres, but we are quite small in comparison to not just London universities, but a lot of other UK universities. And so we make about 4,000 offers. We make about 4,000 offers, and our intention is to recruit about 1,300, 1,400 first-year students. So in terms of ratios, it's broadly 1 in 5 applicants gets made an offer, and we make more offers than we have places available, because not everybody to whom we make an offer either selects us as their firm first or second insurance choice, and not everybody who accepts us as their firm first choice automatically gets the grades, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. So when you look in the prospectus, and it looks by each subject, and it tells you how many applications there were in 2013 and how many first-year students there were in that year, and you look at it and you think, oh my goodness me, all of those applications, just those few places. So those of you who are thinking of economics, could I have a show of hands for anybody who might think about applying to economics? I thought as much, lots of you, obviously. Good choice. It will tell you in the prospectus that we have had 2,800 or so applications for economics. And it will tell you that we've got 200 first-year students. But what it doesn't tell you is to get those 200 first-year students, we've probably made about 500 offers. So please don't be alarmed by what appears to be incredibly small odds against you being made an offer. We only give certain figures in the prospectus. But what I can tell you about is the sort of things that the selectors are looking for in an application that makes a difference to you being one of the 5 that gets the offer, as opposed to the 4 out of the 5 that doesn't. You will know that our academic entry criteria is quite high. You will know that for most of our courses, the standard offer is 3 A's at A level. If you're doing the IB, that translates to 37 points or 38.666 at higher level. For some programmes, and that is anything with economics in it as a combined programme or economics as a single honours programme, management, mathematics or statistics, we require an A grade in mathematics as a minimum. For economics and for mathematics, we require an A star grade in maths. And for law, we also require an A star grade in one of your 3 subjects, but we don't specify which one in our offer. It's usually an essay writing subject. So if you were thinking of applying to law and your subject combination was history, English, and politics, and you were to get an offer from us, it would be likely to be A star, AA, and the A star in any subject. Applying for economics and your subject combination being maths, economics, physics. Anybody here who has that combination of subjects, maths, economics and physics? That was my combination at A level as well. If you were to be made an offer, your offer would be A star maths AA. Similarly, if you were doing maths, economics and history, the same offer would apply. A star maths AA. There are certain subjects that we don't like to see in combination. For economics, the departments state quite clearly on their department web pages they don't like to see economics and business studies as 2 of the 3 subjects because they regard them as too similar. But generally speaking, we will accept most subject combinations. We do have a list of subjects which we regard as non-preferred. Your teachers may refer to them as non-facilitating. And what we say with those, it's acceptable to have one of those as one of your 3 subject combinations, but not more than one. So business studies is on that list. So if your subject combination is maths, business studies, French, absolutely fine. Media studies on that list. So if your combination maths, media studies, French, absolutely fine. But we wouldn't like to see maths alongside business studies and media studies, because that would be 2 from our non-preferred list. And all of that information is clearly available both on the website and in our prospectus. And it's very important that you make sure you've noted that and that you do apply knowing that your qualifications provide a good match with what the selectors are looking for. Part of the application also includes a school reference. Normally that's written by your tutor, your head of sixth. On occasion you have a UCAS director, one of the deputy heads, or even the head teacher will do that. And that is generally positive. It's very rare for students to receive a bad reference. It can happen, but obviously the more you impress your teachers, the harder you work, the more that you do for your school, you give them more to write about your commitment and your involvement. Some of you I know will be head boys, head girls, you will be prefects, you'll be sitting on student councils, you will be doing a lot in the school, you will be acting as mentors, you will be doing all the things that your head of six say to you, oh, I need a volunteer to do this for because it will look good on your UCAS form. What they really mean by that is it will give them something to write about you. They will be able to say you're not just a clever person, you're not just good at your subjects, but you bring a whole load of other skills and experiences to the university. So do take those opportunities. Chances are you will actually thoroughly enjoy them, and it will be reflected in what your school writes about you when it has to assess your suitability for further study at university level. But perhaps the most important thing that goes on to your application is what you write in your personal statement. Because going back to the numbers things, it's very clear that LSE receives a lot of applications from a lot of students who are extremely well qualified, who are predicted top grades at A level, A stars and A's, who do have A grades for their ASs, and who do have very good GCSE grades. And one thing about LSE is we do not interview students prior to making a decision. We base the decision solely and completely upon the information that we receive from UCAS that you have submitted on your UCAS application. It's true that some universities still do interview. Oxford and Cambridge will interview for all of their places. A number of other universities interview for some of their courses. But at LSE, we don't interview for anything. And therefore, because of that, what goes into your personal statement really, really, really matters. Because faced with a pile of applications from students with a very, very similar academic profile, the only thing that the selector can use to differentiate between them and distinguish the excellent from the pretty good or the very good or the not quite as good is what is in the personal statement. And so the personal statement is something that you will spend a considerable amount of time writing and rewriting. You will be given help by your school, of course. And the most important thing about your personal statement from our point of view is it's an opportunity to show off your personality. It cannot be somebody else's. Never, ever, 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 ever be tempted to take advantage of somebody offering or showing you their old one. Because UCAS keeps a record of all personal statements, and it's very easy to detect any plagiarism. But it must be something that shows your personal commitment, interest, enthusiasm, passion for the course that you want to study. And at LSE, as a leading academic institution, we expect your personal statement to be 75 to 80% about your subject interest. Now, that's not true for all universities, but it's definitely true for LSE. And so some students who write their personal statement but only include a very small, perhaps a third or even a quarter, about the subjects that they want to study at LSE, about their interest in geography or their interest in statistics or their interest in accounting or their interest in international relations, really shoot themselves in the foot. They seriously disadvantage themselves because the selector is looking for 75 to 80% about the subject. And they're looking to see students who can see beyond the confines of the A-level curriculum. They're looking for students that have a global interest. They're looking for students whose knowledge and interest in a particular subject is contemporary. Not rooted in the past, not rooted in what they've been taught at school, but it's based on what's happening around and about. So for me, a classic point would be anybody applying for international relations who didn't at some stage of their application form have an opinion, show that they're aware of, or they have acknowledged what's currently happening in the Ukraine, in Crimea and Russia, the selector would think, where have they been? Use the information around you. Look at what's happening in the news, look at what's happening in current affairs, show that you're interested in it, link it to the subject that you want to study. And for subjects like law, for management, for economics, for geography, for international relations, it's out there. And so that's what you've got to make sure that you do. Because if you don't, somebody else will, and then you'll be one of the four rather than the one of the five that gets the offer. So that is really, really, really important. And if you take one thing away from today, I'd like it to be that your personal statement is hugely important to the selectors when they are considering whether to make you an offer or not. Yes, your academic credentials have to be there. Yes, it's important that your academic educational performance is steady and improving, but you've also got to demonstrate that you are the person that they want to have in their class, in their seminar room, and is doing the work with them. And that's hugely important. It will also be important to a number of other Russell Group institutions. We often get asked questions about things like work experience. Again, for us, that is not a deal breaker, because we accept that not everybody has access to work experience, particularly with the current economic climate. It may improve in the future, but at the moment, not everybody who wants to go and work in a bank can do so. Not everybody who wants to go and spend 3 weeks in a solicitor's firm can do so. And so because of that, we don't regard that as particularly significant. Of course, if you've done it and you want to put it down and relate it to academic interest, that's absolutely fine. But it won't give you more of an advantage. All it will tell us is you've had an opportunity. But if somebody else hasn't had that opportunity, then it won't disadvantage them. So it's neutral, but if you are going to mention it, make sure you mention it in a way that is relevant, not just a list of achievements. Oh, yes, and I've done this. Oh, and by the way, I've done that and that and that and that. Because that won't cut the mustard. That won't be convincing enough for the selectors, particularly for some of our more competitive courses. So what I do think also about your personal statement, and it's a very obvious point, but do remember who is going to be reading it. It's not in your interest to say economics is the study of how consumers behave and stress the importance of demand and supply when your personal statement is going to be read by a lecturer in economics. They'll know that. It's not sufficient to say, start your personal statement with a quote and think, I've given this wonderful quote, law is passion free from reason, and think that that's going to be seen as unique, because it's not, because the selectors are more than aware of that, and maybe themselves have used that as an example in some of their works. So do be careful about peppering your personal statement with quotes. Quotes aren't personal. Somebody else got there first. Sometimes people say, oh, I need a quote to give my personal statement gravitas. I need a quote to make my personal statement stand out. No, you don't. That's a very simple mistake to make. It's a very easy mistake to avoid. So quotes aren't particularly helpful. Show of hands, who's read Freakonomics? Fantastic. Who's read The Undercover Economist? Marvellous. Right. How many of you thought you were the only one to have read those books? You don't have to put your hands up now, but I'm going to make that point that reading Freakonomics, reading The Undercover Economist, doesn't necessarily set you apart from other people. Nothing wrong with doing it, but what you want to be trying to think about is what makes me different. What makes me stand out in the crowd? What gives me an advantage over other people? And again, that's the thing I want you to go away and think about. I don't want to discourage you from reading those books. Not at all. But I do want you to appreciate that you won't be the only person who's read those books, and so therefore you need to give some serious thought to how it is you can make your application academic, interesting, personal, and convincing. And that's really important. What I often say when I'm talking to individual students and groups of students is that your personal statement has to take the place of an interview. When you write it, when you structure it, you think of it as, what would I be saying if I was being interviewed by an economic lecturer? What would I be saying if someone was giving an interview and saying, why do you want to study economics? What have you read? What interests you about it? Give me an example of something that's happened in economics that's made you go, yes, I need to know more about that. So try and structure it as you would a personal statement. And if you do that, then the chances are you will get excited, you will start thinking things through, and you will start to write a very good personal statement. The other thing I think that I hope goes without saying is that in this day and age of spell checkers and grammar checkers, you really do not want to submit a personal statement that has any errors in it. You'd be surprised, but people do. And also, to make things nice and fair for everybody, there is a word limit. In fact, it's more than a word limit. It's a character limit for your personal statement. Your character limit, 4,000 characters, includes punctuation, paragraphing, full stops. They count as characters. Now, we have in the past, students haven't always been aware of this, and some students who are desperate to get as much information onto their personal statement as possible have omitted all punctuation. Yeah. And they've got about all. By doing that, and if you think in a sheet of writing how much punctuation you would have, how many commas, how many full stops, how many whatevers you might have in it, and you take all of those out, you probably give yourself about, let's say, 40 more characters. So those 40 more characters, maybe 80 characters, are going to give you what? Another 10, 15 words? It's not going to be a deal breaker. But what it will show, or it will appear, is that you don't understand how to write academic English. So don't be tempted to take out punctuation. That will not assist you. Similarly, please do not use text. Use academic English. If you want to say, for example, I guess EG is okay, but if you want to say, for future, it's three characters, F-O-R, not numeral four. For future has to be four. I know it sounds obvious, but it's academic English. And if people don't follow the rules, then their decision will not be favourable. So that's really, really important. So we've talked about what goes on the application. We've talked about the dates. I hope I've encouraged you to think seriously about what you put in your personal statement. We've talked about the academic background, the A-levels. We've talked about the subjects. I will give you a few more figures. I'm really sorry that I can't get the slides to work because I do have all of this on slides, but for some reason the slide system isn't working for me today. But I will tell you that our admission figures for 2013, I've told you we had 17,000 applications. The precise number was 17,375. So my 17,000 is good enough for you. I've told you we had 1,400 first-year students. It was actually 1,357. I've rounded it up. What that means is not, however, that those applications are equally distributed across all of our courses. So just for information, I've got down here that for economic history, which is quite a small department, it's quite a small degree, there are 11-1 applications to registered first-year students. For law, the figure was 17-1. Law is one of our most popular courses, routinely has around 2,500 applications. Economics is 15-1. Surprising? less than law. That's because although we have more applications for economics than we do for law, we also have more students that we take. So our classes, our law students are a bigger, sorry, our economics students form a bigger part of the university student body. So we may have 500 more applicants for economics than we do for law, but we also take more students. Accounting and finance, 14 to 1. Management, 14 to 1. And a surprising one is international relations, which is 18 to 1, which statistically, at least, is one of the most difficult courses to get onto at LSE, because, again, we have over 1,000 applications, but we take a very small, relatively small number of first-year students. Finally, I would like to say to you that if you do apply to us, we keep you closely informed via email as to the status of your application. You will get an acknowledgement when we receive your application. You will get regular updates about who's looking at your application. You will get information about when you can expect to hear a decision from us. And we communicate with you via email. And then the final stage, which is the stage that the Year 13s are currently going through, the final stage is assuming that you've done everything, you've done very well, you've got all your offers back, 5 offers. Some of you will get 5 offers, some of you will get 4, but you've got your offers back. You then have to make a decision which one you want to accept as your firm, your first choice university preference, and which you want to accept as your second. And once you've done that, it's just a question of sitting back and doing well in your exams. When your exam results come out in August, this will be August 2015, the universities get sent them, and the universities can then match them with the offers that they were, or the grades that you were asked to get. And at that stage, they are able to say, yes, we guarantee you a place. And the simple rule is, if you are asked to get 3 A's at A level, and you accept LSE as your firm first choice, and you get 3 A's at A level, your place is guaranteed. So we could have the nightmare scenario where we make 400 or 500 offers for people to study economics, and they all get A star AA, and they all select LSE as their firm first choice institution. And in that case, we would be contractually obliged to say, yes, fine, come, we'll teach you, all 500 of you. It's never happened yet. It's not a challenge. But there's never a question of saying, oh no, you've got enough students, you won't take us. If we make you an offer and you get those grades, then your offer with us is secure. The downside of that is if you don't quite get the grades, if you were asked to get A star AA and you get 3 A's, will you still get your offer? Well, at that stage, or sorry, will you still get your place confirmed in the summer? Well, at that stage, it comes down to how well everybody else has done. Because if everybody else has got their grades, then it's unlikely. But if enough other people have missed their grades, then your chance improves. So essentially, when you apply to university, you are endeavouring to make sure that your application is the best it can possibly be and that nobody else's is as good as yours. Thank you for your time here this afternoon. I hope you found that useful. There are other information stands and other talks for you to see later on. So enjoy the rest of your day. And if you have questions, please go and talk to the people who are there at the information stands. Thank you for your time this afternoon.